lived alone in the country, and he wanted to dig up his potato garden to get ready. It was very hard work. The ground was hard to get it ready to plant potatoes, and his only son, Fred, who used to help him, was in prison. And so the old man wrote a letter to his son and described his predicament. He said, "Dear Fred, I'm feeling pretty bad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my potato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. If you were here, all my troubles would be over and you'd dig up the plot for me. Love, Dad." A few days later, he received a letter from his son. "For heaven's sake, Dad, don't dig up the garden. That's where I buried the bodies." So, love, Fred. So at 4 a.m. the next morning, the FBI agents and local police showed up and they dug up the entire area without finding any bodies. They apologized to the old man and left. The same day, the old man received another letter from his son. "Dear Dad, go ahead and plant the garden now. That's the best I can do under the circumstances. Love, Fred." A good son, amen. Amen. Let's take your Bibles tonight and turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. I prayed about what God had me preach for the first message here. And I feel led to this. I love this passage, and I've preached through Jeremiah in the past. But this passage is powerful. Let's stand, if you're able, as you read from God's Word tonight. Jeremiah chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At one instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it." Now jump over to chapter 19. "Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. Because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents." Verse 10. "Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh the potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury." Lord, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for these good people, Lord. And Lord, we know you have a plan here. We just pray, God, that as we look into the word tonight, you'd guide my thoughts, my mouth. And Lord, I pray we'd hear from you tonight, not from me. Lord, give me that unction from on high, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When I first involved with this church, in fact, when I was given a survey trip to the preacher that started this, we pastored in Longview, south of here, and started the church there. I was there 18 years before we went to Montana. And when we left the church in Longview, we couldn't imagine being in any other place, you know. In fact, you know, it was the first church that we had planted and first church I pastored, and And at that time, loved Washington. I felt that was where my call was. And so I was going to Montana to candidate for this church. I thought, that's dark backside of the desert. Who wants to go to Montana? You know, I had that mindset. And ended up being there 28 years, and it was the greatest part of my ministry. And God used that in an amazing way. I had no idea what God was doing. But I fell in love with Montana and fell in love with the people there, and found out God was doing a work in our lives and our family's lives that really changed our life in so many wonderful ways. You know, God makes us all different. Every church is unique in itself, okay? And each of us are vessels that need to make God's work more effective. Everyone in Bellingham Baptist Church is vital to the church here. God sets them in the church. You know. 2 Timothy 2:20, Paul says this, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." So I asked Miss Elizabeth to get me some vessels here tonight. I got a few weirdos here. Ice cream vessel, real expensive plastic cup. And we got a measuring cup. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, here we go. That's pretty cool. It's got a lid that doesn't fit. Okay. So, and then we got this weird rectangle pan. However, as much as these are weird vessels, they all have a use. Here, God tells Jeremiah to go to the potter's house. Now, especially in those days, pottery business was a vital business. Man, Jeremiah had probably passed by the potter's house many times and never stopped in to check it out, see what was going on. I mean, who wants to do that? But God tells him to go there. And the demand for pottery was in many sizes, just like it is today, but there was large ones, small ones, cheap ones, expensive ones, juglets, cups, I mean, bowls, plates, lamps, all made out of pottery. So I'd say they had an important business. But this time, he wasn't just going by. God told him to go in there. I want you to spend time and observe what's happening in the potter's house. The old preacher B.H. Carroll said this. He says, "The world is but a lump of clay in God's hands, to be fashioned as he wills." And so Jeremiah goes in and he sees the potter sitting before two stone wheels with a shank between them, and then a thing at his feet to make the wheels turn. And then, you know, bear with me, I got some weird things here. I'm not a guy that messes with Play-Doh. A lot of these kids probably do. I don't know if I can get this thing out of here. Need some kids up here to get it out for me. But you get to kind of get an idea, you know. And anyway, they set this on there, and he'd begin to spin it on the wheel. And this stuff doesn't spin worth beans, but you get an idea. He could mold it into anything, okay? And he would begin to mold it into some kind of a vessel. And what's interesting, he'd have the top of his hands in here, and then spin in here, and he'd mold it with the other hand. Of course, I'm left-handed, so he probably did it this way. But and so he'd set a lump of clay on the wheel, and with his fingers begin to mold and fashion it into various types of vessels. He then observed that when he would do this, sometimes there'd be something in the clay that wasn't right. And the thing, and so he just smashed the thing and start over. And he found out this particular clay could make something, but maybe not the most expensive vessels. And so he'd still make a vessel out of it, but not the original one that he had planned. And it's because the clay had resisted a little bit and would not respond to the planned treatment with it. Okay, you with me on this? Bear with me. And so the clay would not adjust to the ideal setting of the potter, but he'd remake it so it would still be a usable vessel. And then this vessel might be of a poor grade and a more common piece of pottery, but still would be something that people would need. Okay? Now, without a doubt, some of you that's going through your mind a little bit, this is kind of a humbling illustration. Because this is a real truer portrait of who God is and who we are. God's the potter, we're the clay. You know, we prefer to think of God as our Father. And because of Jesus Christ, we have that relationship. And because the Lord Jesus condescended and took on human flesh, we're able to be in God's family and be His children. But that's not really a true description of what we are in relation to God. That's why I'm saying this is a humbling thing, and I think Jeremiah got it, you know. In comparison with God, not only are we not equal, we're not even on a second, third, fourth, fifth basis, okay? And sometimes you begin to think you're somebody important. You're just a lump of clay. The best description of who God is in relation to we are is He is like a human potter, as it were, and we're like a lump of clay. So when you get up in the morning and think you're somebody special for the day, remember, you're really just a dirt bag. Okay? And I'm not trying to depress you here this evening, but just bear with me. As I look back on my life in ministry, back in school and seminary and interning in churches and pastoring and both here in the state and also in Montana, I see the importance of the potter. I've had enough life to understand that He was at work all the time. I'm just going along for the ride, and I'm glad for it. God had a work in design in a process of my wife and I's life together. And it involved not just me and my wife, then it involved my son, my daughter, and my grandkids, all serving God. It's amazing how God did it. And I look back and people say, your kids are serving God, and that's great, not everybody has that opportunity. Yeah, and I say, what'd you do? The grace of God. I can't give you the exact recipe for having good kids and grandkids. You do what God wants you to do, but there's no guarantee. It's God's grace. And we just go along with, as God's molding the clay, and let the clay do its job. Hebrews 12, 2. This is interesting. The Bible says, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him. Think about this. The joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you may think, what is the joy? There's a song I've been trying to get the music to. I love this song. But here's the word. Listen to the words of this. He looked beyond the veil and saw the wondrous joy. Just ahead, all brokenness would be destroyed. He saw the resurrection day. He saw old sinners being saved. And He looked beyond the cross and saw the joy. Yeah, He saw the joy, what remedy would take place as He's suffering there on the cross. When God called out Abraham, He saw Jacob's 12 sons. He saw, He saw David as king. And He saw the virgin birth of Jesus Christ to deliver man from sin. Because God sees history, past, present, and future. Say, how do you do that? He's God. Okay, come on, you know, let's get with it here. And so, Jesus saw what he could mold these simple vessels into being something of great beauty. And you may ask, well, don't I have any part in the forming of my life? Does the clay have any part in the forming of its vessel? Come on, let's get with this here. You're a vessel, you're not the designer. Yeah. But what if I don't like the plan he has for me? Maybe a crude way of putting it, but saying, suck it up. I mean, I don't like how it's happening here at the church. And, you know, the pastor left, and now what are we? Hey, suck it up. You're the clay. God's got a plan for this church that's far greater than you can imagine. You just got to get from point A to B and then look back and say, oh, I should have kept my mouth shut. Trust God, you know. Yeah, okay. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, you know, our church went through that when I left. 28 years we were there. But God's blessing. They're doing great, you know. Think about it. It's not just any potter. It's the supernatural potter. Yeah. So let's look at this. Verse 3, chapter 18. So Jeremiah says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. See, what he's saying is every vessel is a work of God. Changes that you're experiencing right now is because the Lord's in there working on the wheel. Amen? He's doing a work on the wheel with every one of you and every one of us, even us. My wife, the other day, a little bit in tears, she says, I'm trying to adjust to this new thing. I don't know what it's like not being a pastor's wife. You know, well, it's, I don't know what it's like not being a pastor, you know. But it's, you know, it God's work, he's not done with us, you know. I'm being molded into another vessel, another needed use. This church is being molded, every one of you, as a church and as individuals, into something great that God has for you. Just let him do his work. You know, God wants to accomplish far greater things with you than he's ever done before. That Bellingham Baptist Church can have a greater impact than it's ever done before. It's in his plan, you know. Ephesians 1:11 says he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Yeah. And understand this work is on the wheels. He did a work on the wheels. What are the wheels doing? They're turning. Yeah, so it's not stopping. It's going. You know, there's a constant work of change under God's controlled pattern. And what's interesting, I did a study on this, I can't do it because I don't have a wheel, but while the potter's right hand is forming the outside of the vessel, he was also sticking the other finger in there and enlarging the inside so it could hold more, so it could be more productive. You know, God is working for this church to enlarge its ministry and its opportunities. And what God wants to do with you is incredible if you just let him have his way. I mean, not just here, but around the world. You got a great missions program, God. God's blessing that. Awesome. But don't rest on the past. God's making the vessel a little bigger so you can do more for missions. Or you can do more for this area, you know. Verse 4. And the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Well, second thing we understand is vessels sometimes need to be redesigned. Yeah. The clay, like this one, has various types of consistency. Obviously, this is too soft. You know, you get this thing on the wheels and start flying around after a while, you know. So sometimes they wait and let it dry and then start over on the vessel again. God creates every one of us here at certain grades. Yeah. There's a potential and a design in every one of you according to God's grace. And nothing's wrong with being a Lucerne Dairy Farm ice cream container, okay? How many like ice cream? If you're normal people, okay? How many? You maybe can't eat it, but you like it, okay? Okay, so, you know, and then some got to be the measuring thing. I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with certain things. They may look nice, they may look like junk, but they're still vital. You know, and also that happened, there'd be impediments as the guy's making the thing. And so he'd catch an impediment and he'd have to, boy, he'd make a big scratch or mess in the vessel, so he'd have to start all over, you know. But listen to me, every vessel for a potter has shells, pebbles, bone implements, broken shards. Every vessel they deal with has to deal with that. There's no perfect vessels here. Not just because I'm looking around and seeing no perfect ones. It's because we're all sinners. Yeah. And but the potter knows about that, you know. There are things in your life he's trying to work out in your life. And so as he hits one of those shells or something, he'll pull that thing out and then keep working. And, you know, so I'm saying he's still doing that, you know. Some seem to fight this, and they keep working out the, you know, they keep trying to work out this bad stuff, but let the potter do his work. You know, the description God also uses us, not as his children, is dumb sheep. Because we, I hate to say it, we sometimes do dumb things, have some dumb thoughts. And so just let the potter do his work and the plan he has. See, God does have a first plan for every vessel. And we need to learn to adjust ourselves to the intended work of the potter to fill that. But what I like here is that he doesn't, if the vessel doesn't work the first time, he can remake it. It may not be as the first plan, but because God is God, he can pick up the pieces and make something good that we have messed up. I mean, anybody ever messed up in life? Oh, yeah. If you've been around long enough, you do. Think about Joseph. His brothers throw him in the cistern there, and he's screaming, "Get me out! I don't want to die here, guys. What do you do?" You know, he didn't like the plan. But it was part of God's plan. As bad as that was. But later Joseph began to understand God's plan as he worked in Potiphar's house. And then, hey, he didn't give up when he's thrown to prison for being falsely accused. He was faithful to God, and God blesses him in the prison house. Because why was that? Because everything God was doing was molding his life, preparing him to be the second ruler in Egypt and to deliver the chosen people. You say, well, that took a lot of years. One day is 1,000 years to God, you know. God has, you know, don't get, you know, I don't know about you, I'm impatient, I get in a hurry. But God's not in a hurry. He has a plan that may take us through some difficult things to build us to be that vessel like he did with Joseph. You know, there's some unpleasant things we're thrust into. And we maybe not like it, but we just got to pray to God for deliverance and get strength through it. And I think that's how Joseph dealt with the situation. I think he prayed to God and God gave him the grace, and he became a great testimony in everything he did. But the plan God has may be just one step to the full plan that God has for you. And also we see this, that God has more than one plan. Notice it says, and the vessel made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. You know, each one of us have different backgrounds, and you may have a life that got saved out of a lot of corruption. nothing wrong with that. God saves you at different stages in life. We're all sinners. Either boy, and I got saved at 9, and I still was a sinner, and I knew it. But some go through a lot of areas of corruption, maybe in their 20s and 30s, and even older than that, they come to the Lord. And so when that plan, you say, well, how is that plan going to work? God's not disturbed by that. The potter can still do a great work, but sometimes the marred, that word means corrupted or destroyed, sometimes it looks beyond fixing, but God can fix it. And I've seen him turn lives around that were horribly wicked lives and turn them into great preachers, great ministers for the Lord. There's no limit to what God can do if we just trust the potter. You know, because it's God. That's why it can happen. You look, you know, you come across lives that, man, wrecked. And you say, what in the world? They get saved, but how can God do anything with that person? Because he's God. Nothing is impossible with God. The old preacher Vaughn O'Reilly said this: a part of the clay in the washing and kneading was not brought to the right consistency. It was too hard or too soft of a place to preclude the uniformity of shape. You know, what's good about this clay, and maybe clay you found when you're digging up your garden, is this one's still pliable. So it can still be formed. If anything, God wants you to be pliable. You hear me? Keep a soft heart with God. Yeah. Don't let the things of the world harden your heart, get you bitter, get contentious, get critical. I didn't want this to happen. Well, remember, God's molding some things in your life. There must be a purpose behind it. You've got to trust him. We know the verse, Romans 8:28, we can all quote it. And we know that some things work together for good to them that love God. Is that what it says? Yeah, someone this morning said all means all. I had a professor who used to go a little further than that. He said all means all, and that's all means. You know, God, he works all things together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his what? Purpose. See, he's working that purpose. But Paul told the Galatians concerning their frail spiritual condition that he wanted them to be present until Christ be formed in you, in Galatians 4:19. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Sounds like a process. Sounds like a little bit of work on the wheel. You say, well, what are these additional plans God has for us? Well, it's to bring about the vessel that maybe sometimes entails 2, 3, 4, 5 steps. Who knows? But it's filled with purpose to bring about what God does for the glory of God through your life. He says, I like how he puts it here in Jeremiah. He says, as it seemed good to the potter to make it, there in verse 4. Does God do things that are good? Everything he does is good. You hear me? Let's say it together. Everything he does is good. Yes, it is. Anything by God's design is going to be good. Peter is a man who had several rough edges. I'd say there was a lot of bones and shards and stuff in the middle of that vessel that he had to throw out several times, right? He spoke without thinking. He tried to fix things. God, it's not going to be. You're not going to the cross. Wake up, Peter. Went fishing, wanted to give up. All those things, but God was working on the wheel as difficult as Peter was, what a great work he did in Peter's life. You're no exception. You say, well, I'm no Peter. No, you're not no Peter. That's bad English, but you're not a Peter. But you're exactly who God made you to be. If you'll just surrender to His will and allow Him to work on the wheel, man, it's going to be great. Verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Now this may bother you tonight. You may not appreciate it. You know, but God is free to act with your vessel as He chooses. I mean, it's according to His choosing. I don't like how He made me look. Well, maybe no one else does. But God does. I don't like my personality. I mean, I'm sick and tired of these thinking liberals. I want people to change their... Can't be a male or female or whatever. That is sick. They're destroying people's lives with that. That's another story. But listen to me, God made us exactly as He wanted to make us. He isn't arbitrary or irresponsible in what He does. He can act as He chooses. Unlike us, God acts according to His nature. And His nature is perfect. He's holy. He's all wise. He's loving. He's powerful. All those things. And He don't need our advice. He don't need our complaints. Nor do we have the right to criticize His actions. Peter rebuking the Lord was a dumb move. Not so, Lord. You're not going to do that. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. We know who was behind that, you know. Lord, this isn't what I want or the way I expected my life to be. Well, you better be glad it didn't come out how you wanted it to be. When you make your choices, they're going to be a dead-end street. I've seen lives many times of people trying to do what they want. And boy, what a mess. What a mess. Romans 11:34, it says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? Romans 9:20, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? The best place for us to be is in the hands of the potter. Can't find a better place, you know. As the clay is in the potter's hands, the Bible says, God says, so are ye in mine hand. And boy, what a wonderful place to be. You know, there's the positive side here. When you're in God's hands, it's a place of peace and contentment and purpose. We love Psalm 23. Think about this. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He's doing all that stuff. That's the work of the potter. The flesh, like our brother McCracken always does, he grabs his flesh and pulls it. The flesh, we always believe, is so smart. You know, it always thinks there's something better out there. You know, just like Israel, they did the same thing time and again. Instead of following the Lord, they thought something better out there. I mean, what's better than taking you through the Red Sea? What's better than planting you in the Promised Land? Oh, we'd better off if we went back to Egypt. Oh, yeah. We're a bunch of babbling idiots, aren't we? You know, and so be a lot better off just to do what the potter wants, you know. Think about Jonah and the people of Nineveh. Jonah wanted what he wanted. He was a Jew. He hated those stinking Gentiles. And to top it off, these are the ones that have been killing our people. I mean, without a doubt, the Assyrians were the most ruthless of all the empires. They were known to do atrocities. And so he wasn't going to let them get away. I'm not doing that, God. Of course, God said, oh, yes, you are. Took a little weird work. I don't have time to go into Jonah, but think about this. That whole city turned to Christ with a preaching by a guy that didn't want to preach to him. I guarantee that was you talk about a judgment message. God told him he's going to judge him, but you know Jonah, he hated him. It's like, you guys are a bunch of reprobates. You're going to hell, and I'm glad of it. You know, you can just almost hear the message. But the whole city got saved. And then he'd think he'd be happy about it. He was mad about it. But think of what God's purpose was behind that. And we see, you know, God altering because they repented. Now, verse 7, it says, at one instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. So the potter is going to, he's talking about he's remaking the potter. He's remaking the pot, excuse me. He's starting out over. He was going to destroy those people, but they repented. And so that comes back to kind of what I said. God's choice is not only is he good, they're always the best choices. No one knows how to make the clay better than the potter. No one knows how to make Bellingham Baptist better than the Lord. I know what you're going through is strange, difficult, but the potter's got a plan. Remember the scripture, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. This church is vital and important to the Lord. It's his church. You had a great pastor. I love Brother Carter. Known him since he was a young boy. And his wife as well. Brother Brown's my best friend in the ministry. We talk every week, you know. And so Michelle, known her since she was a little girl. So I love them. And they're going to do another work where God has for them. You wouldn't want to stand in the way of that. And so God's got another plan for you guys. It's awesome. Just wait to see. That's about as simple a vessel as I can think of. Someone will drink that and then throw it in the trash. But if they didn't have it, they wouldn't have been able to drink that way. This has several uses of measuring, but I don't see any measurement things on it. They're all worn off. Oh, it's been used a lot. Okay. But listen to me. No matter how ugly or the weird shape or the size, it's valuable to make an impact for God. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, ones made out of dirt, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Bear with me here. Let's go back to these real fancy vessels. You can already see some of these beautiful vessels, and some of them have like they're like treasures, and they never use them for anything. They set them on the shelf, you know. Then you have this simple stuff, you know. And this, you know, this had ice cream. It'll probably be used for something else. Somebody store rice in it or something. Who knows? But you look and say, man, the beautiful vessel, that's so valuable. But is it really more valuable than this thing? Mainly because it's a shelf thing to look at. How old was Moses when he started his ministry? 80 years old. I think they'd kind of thrown away the possibility of that guy ever going anywhere doing anything. I mean, think about how many in the Bible are nobody's Gideon. And what God did with Gideon is incredible. David, nobody picked him. Samuel didn't pick him. His dad certainly didn't pick him, but he was out in the field because I don't even think he's coming to be anointed. So I'm just saying the Bible goes on with people that we think are immaterial or unusual, but God has a great plan. God's choices are always good. The simpler vessels that we think are not important are very important to God. God made you exactly as he designed, and we should bow in thanksgiving for how he made us. Vernon, God made you just like he wanted you to be. Amen. I mean, Gabriel, isn't that your name back here? Gable? I'm trying to learn these names, so help me here. I don't know what God has for you, but He's using you. He's got a future for you. I mean, even Scotty here, God has a plan for him. There's no one without God. God didn't make you for no reason. Oh, a mistake there. Parents may say that, but God didn't make a mistake. Chapter 19. I'll wrap this up here. This is the saddest part in the book of Jeremiah, I believe. Verse 1, then saith the Lord, go ye and get the potter's earthen bottle, and take the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, that his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me. Verse number 10. Then shalt thou break the bottle, this vessel, in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury. If you go to Israel, sit up on the Mount of Olives, and there are the eastern gates down there. There's this deep valley in front of it. It's called the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. It's the place where they burn the garbage. And back then, the eastern gate was open. It's closed now until Jesus comes. Even the Arabs know that. It's the funniest thing. Go to Israel. It's awesome. The Muslims, they've laid plots of graves of people in front of the eastern gate. They did it for this reason, because when the Messiah of the Jews comes back, he wouldn't dare desecrate their graves by walking over them. That tells me they know who Jesus is. They just don't want to acknowledge him, okay? Anyway, that was free. But anyway, they're... And so, you know, Jesus is going to fly and he don't need to walk on anything. But you look down there, and what they do, he had all the priests come out that day and the leaders of the people, and he took these vessels they thought were so important, and he smashed them and threw them in the garbage. And he says, that's what you guys are. You know what the problem was? The Jews are much like America is today. They were so hard, the vessels were beyond repair, and they were just left for garbage. And just they'd be thrown out. I've seen people like that. You door knock people like that today in America. I never understood this so much until the last few years. There's people out there that, not that I'm not going to give them the gospel, but they don't want to hear. They're so hard to anything, they have no interest at all in the things of God. They've hardened their heart and hardened their heart and hardened their heart. I don't know who you are today. I don't know everybody here. But you come in here and you hear the gospel and you say no, 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 and God will finally say no, throwing you in the garbage. You get to the place where you cannot be saved. You say, how many times do you have to say no? I don't know what that. God doesn't tell us, but he does tell us it happens. And that's exactly what he was telling about Israel here. He says, you're going to the garbage. Babylonians are coming in here. They're going to wipe this place clean. See, what happened with these vessels, they became too hard, unlike this clay, too hard to be made into anything. And they became worthless. If you wonder if there's an end to the grace of God, here it is. That's frightening. If you tonight don't know Christ and you keep putting him off, I fear for you. You don't want to put it off any longer. You don't know. This may be your last opportunity. So you're trying to scare me. If I can scare you into getting saved, praise God. But the worst thing is, I'd hate to see you get to you so hard. As I look over my ministry, God's taken us through many circumstances. I mean, some real trials, some real challenges. The ministry's full of those, and some great blessings, some great victories. And God's doing the same with each one of you here today. Some might be new pots. You might have just got saved. I don't know everybody here. Maybe you've been saved a long time. Some of you I know that have been saved. Some are older pots. Some are brand new pots. But no matter what, God is still doing a good work. You know, Abraham, you look at his ministry, he did not set goals. He just moved all around Palestine and followed where God led him and did a tremendous work. One of the greatest men in the Bible, without a doubt. You know, some people fight the will of the potter. Don't be stupid. He has a great work for you. Can you imagine yourself going down with Jeremiah to the Valley of Hinnom and watching him as he gets these pots up and just throws them down there? Some that they thought wouldn't be made into something, but they cracked, it didn't work, and they're just thrown in there. And then he preaches. The impact, I don't know about you, when I think of that thing, the impact of a person without the Savior, it's frightening. Hell's real. The lake of fire is eternal. You can't get out of it except through Jesus Christ. There's no other options. I hope tonight each one of you will think about this part. If you don't know Christ, I don't care, maybe you've been here for years in this church. That's stupid to fight that and still say, well, everybody thinks I'm saved, so that's too embarrassing. It's too embarrassing. You're going to sacrifice eternity in the lake of fire for an embarrassment? It's not worth it. And then if you know the Lord, don't fight the will of the potter. You say, well, man, it's been so hard. Yeah, it was hard for Joseph. But it's a blessing at the far end. Just see where God's going to lead. Let's bow our heads in prayer.